Son of set you free, you'd be free indeed. It's good to be free tonight. Amen. Well, this song tells about, it's an old hymn, you know it. And it tells about the Christian life. Amen. A lot of Christians need to get in on it. How that he leads you along. Amen. We need to have an ear to hear or it can lead you. Amen. I don't want him to have to get a hold of me like he did Lot. Grab him by the arm and get him out of town. Amen. No, sir. I want to be able to hear. In caves and pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads you just to along where the water's too low, babe, weary ones, God leads their children along. Come to the water, come to the flood, come to the fire, but all through the blood. Come to great sorrow, but God gives the storm. In the night season and all the day long. Sometimes it's on the mountain where the sun shines so bright, God leads his children along. Sometimes in the valley, the dark is night, God leads his children. Come through the water, come through the flood, come through the fire, all through the blood. Come through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night. that golden door, you see the water good. I want to see the Savior and think of glory in Him, the home of us all. You
back here in the house of the Lord. I've been saved 30-odd years, and I've never got used to going to church.
I don't do much of anything else. I
spend the greatest part of my life either sitting on a pew or standing behind a pulpit. When I don't have anything else to do, I'll go home and listen to tapes. I'm addicted to this stuff. Amen. I love it. I thank God for saving me and putting me into the ministry. I appreciate it. Appreciate what God's doing. If I didn't have any more religion than some folks, I'd just quit. I really would. I couldn't have it. A Sunday morning religion never did, just never appealed to me. I told the Lord I'd do anything He wanted me to do except pastor a Sunday morning crowd. I couldn't do that. I couldn't handle it. And our church on Sunday morning, we have about maybe 275, and Sunday night we have about 225, and Wednesday night we have about 225, and I'm consistently trying to run them other 50 off. I have a hard time with a Sunday morning crowd. Amen, I really do. And I just don't know, I don't know what good that is. I know some people work, and that's only what time they can come. Thank God they do come. But I have no time for a Sunday morning religion. Amen. I believe I ought to worship God on Monday morning, and Tuesday morning, and Wednesday morning, and I've learned this a long time ago. If you don't live for God, you don't have to get your pastor. You don't have to love it. I don't care who you are. I have a friend out in Texas, Dr. Joe Wentz. We started preaching together, and he's been pastor of the same church about 25 years. Even missionaries, they come and join his church, and they come down and say, "We want to join." He said, "Okay, I'll talk to you." I said, "Got a big church, runs about 500. So he takes the missionary back tonight. Your wife is joining this church. They said, "Well, you know, we feel like I ought to be a member of a good church." He said, "Yeah, but you want me to be your pastor? Or do you just want to use our church's influence in our name? If you like me to be the pastor, I mean, if you're in a foreign country somewhere, you get in trouble, I'm going to come down there and pray with you and bury your dead, and you're going to send an offering every once a month to your church and all that. I mean, you know, you're joining the church, aren't you? No, well, you're joining to get in. You're not just, why you're joining." Yeah, I guess they will just ask everybody that. What you joining for? Amen. I was at church one time, a guy was joining. He was passing out cards. He had a cleaner. I don't know why he's joining. All right. In our Bibles, in the 6th chapter of Genesis, the Bible said it came to pass when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fat, and they took them wives of which they chose. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil only continually. The Bible speaks here of man becoming evil. It speaks of his thought life. That his thought life was completely captured by the devil. And I know there was some monstrosities in that day and time, but somehow the devil had invaded the mind of man and got a hold of his mind, and when he did, he became evil continually. He had a hold of his thought life, he got a hold of his heart, and made him an evil, evil man. Now, it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing. I've always hated a creep. Amen? I've always hated a creep. And he crept in unaware, amen, he's a creep. And the fowls of the air for repenting me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I'd like for you to take verse 8 and verse 9 and hear what I did and try to put them together, if you will. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we talk about grace a whole lot, and we should. We talk that we're only saved by grace, and that's really the truth. But verse 8 and verse 9 goes together. These are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Now the Bible said that Noah found grace. And the same grace that he found began to perfect his life and sanctify and cause this man to walk with God. That's right. Not because he had saving in grace, but he also had walk in grace. Amen. I like that. I really do. I kind of believe they go along together. I've always been preaching that anyway. And Noah, they got three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with vile. That sounds like the morning paper. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Now this is strange. And God said unto Noah, a grace preacher. Now this grace preacher had a walking salvation. He had a building salvation. He built something for the glory of God. He was a worshiping grace. Amen. And God said unto the Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. We begin to look here, and the Bible said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And so I begin to look here, and the first thing I want you to look at is the society that Noah lived in. And I'm traveling up and down the land and nearly every week, and the same story is everywhere. Nobody here in this town is unsaved. And that's the way it is in Houston. You go talk to anybody, everybody's saved. Until we get through talking to them. I guess so it doesn't make any difference to me. If you tell me you're a Baptist, I'll just, you know, ask you how long you expect to live and what you're going to do when you get to hell. I quit dealing with people it's no use talking to them about it. I mean, 99% of people that you deal with is unsaved. They hate the church. They hate God. They hate the Bible. They hate God's man. They hate the preacher and everything. So you might as well be honest with them. And one of my men was working the other day, and a big Baptist preacher was there working in the same place, and Brother Sides was putting up the mail, and this preacher, he was laughing, and he said, you're one of them fundamentalists, aren't you? He said, yeah, I'm one of them Baptists that's going to heaven. He said, you're one of them going to hell again. And he just kept on, you know. I said, I hope you know that I pastor a church on 400 people. He said, I know it. He said, you're one of them. He said, we had one like you saved the other day. He said, he got saved in our church, a Baptist preacher. He said, you've been saved. And all this God just got mad
mad. He said, what you mad about? He said, if you're saved, that wouldn't bother you. He said, you're coming if you're lost. And the next day, this guy asked him out for dinner. He said, you really believe I'm lost? He said, no, I don't believe that. I know you are. He said, I've been watching you for years. You don't witness anybody. You don't care if all these people go to hell. You're lost. You're lost. And, that'll kind of join you up, you know. Yeah. You said, well, he probably is lost. Well, maybe he is, but anyway, that'll help you. I'm lucky. Nothing else going to help you. At least this one said, well, at least one thing about it, a man I work with thinks I'm lost. His wife probably thinks he is, and his church member thinks he is. It'll help him. Amen? And so we live in a strange society. And God has called us for one reason, and that's to preach to this society. Not that society, not the future society, but right now we're to deal with the society that we live in. And so, this was a Saturday morning, goes out on the street, and the mayor was coming by. And Rick Wilder, he sticks his hand up, he's a big German crowd, and he sticks his hand up and tells the mayor of Houston, you know, where she's a going. There ain't nothing else to do. Miss Whitmire is going to go to hell when she dies. Very religious woman, but she's going to go to hell when she dies. But when she gets there, they're going to say, Shady Acres told you where you're coming. He says, one of the mothers up there down here had a sign said, prepare to meet thy God. Amen? Amen? Now, y'all really don't believe this. And many of you say, y'all are radical. Well, and that you're, you know, what? How's yours doing? You know, I used to be there and say, every great soul in the Ivy Soul that I ever met was kind of an obnoxious person. You ever notice that? You've had some nuts, you know, and I remember old Bill Crouch, he's dead in heaven now, but old Bill just walked up to everybody and he said, Yankee, got saved when he was 47 years old. He said, boy, you're going to hell. I'm not even saved. When did you get saved? And before you know it, he had you on the defense. You're kind of, Bill won people to God. Besides, when I was Christmas Day, old Brother KD, all of this, people who are stolen or obnoxious. My dad, he's a real strange old man. He's really strange. He's had a stroke around 5 or 6 strokes. And he walks around and he just is pottery like this here and just this pottery, 77 years old, and he pottered, I called home this week, and my mama said, that old crazy fool is down at the rest home, pretty fast. He done pottered down there and told that bus to see the senses where there's a going. An old preacher in our town, old cowboy preacher, 7'1", Brother Johnny. You know it. And old Jack, his name is Jack too. Brother, yeah. Old Jack's old ex cowboy. And Jack's right up at 80 years old. And so he's a big old man. They have a senior citizen, all the senior citizens. And he got out there and he said, it's good to have all you old people here. How many of y'all going to hell when you die? Oh, well. Yeah. You say, brother, what? You wouldn't talk to them old people like this. Hey, honey, it's the end of the road. Somebody better tell them. Somebody better warn them. Old Jack Bunny asked him to hold up a hand. How many's going to hell?
And the preacher told me, his sermon message, he said, I didn't believe it. He said, that big old man preached to them people like he was calling them people down on the slums down there somewhere. They're going to the same place.
You can't beautify this message. Listen, this man had a society to preach to. I want you to notice the society that he lived in. The Bible said they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving and bearing and knew not. In other words, it was an ignorant society. They weren't too smart. And we're living in that society today. They're not too smart. And when you tell them about Christ, they got all the answers. But they don't even know the question.
Amen? But now this society was satanic in style. I said the society that Noah lived in and preached in was satanic in style. I'm telling you, the devil was moving in his time.
Oh, you said, Brother Wood, it ain't never been like it is now. Oh, yes, it was, too.
I'm telling you, that was some strange flesh back in that day and time. I don't know what all was going on, and I don't claim to know, but I'm telling you, there was some monstrosity born in that time, and I'm looking for it to happen any day in my time and your time. Yes, sir. I've seen some pictures of some of these weirdos are singing. Bless God, they look like their mama had a monstrosity. Amen? Amen.
I just sometimes want to write him a letter and said, would you please send me a picture of your mama? I'd like to see her. I mean, I'm sending a guy look like a gyrilla, man. That's right.
Amen. And so this society was satanic in pride, amen. I mean, the devil was moving, and the Bible said he had captured every thought and every intent and blasted their heart and darkened their mouth and fixing to damn their soul.
That's one hope. The preacher said that. He said, didn't win many, done exactly what God told him to do. And that's all I'm supposed to do. He's satanic in pride. And then they were sexual mad. They were sexual mad. Look at that. The Bible said that he said they were giants in the earth.
Oh, you said, well, I don't believe there was angels and I don't care what you believe. I'm telling you, some funny people were born from it. There were some strange monstrosities and giants born in that day and time. That's all I know.
Best time I've seen people get married this day and time, lost people married unsaved people, or saved people married unsaved people.
I never saw no giants born from them. I've seen some nuts born from some of them.
Amen. Some wicked people come out of them. But I ain't never seen no monstrosity. But the Bible said, and the minute it happened, God saw the wickedness of man was great.
The greatest wickedness there was right here. And they were sexual mad. And I'm telling you today, you live in the fellow on TV, he can't even tell a joke unless it's got something to do with sex. They got something to do with sex. I mean, they can't even advertise a car. They can't even sell a penalty. They can't even sell nothing unless it's got something to do with sex. They can't write a song. I'm telling you, they can't do nothing. If you take a sack of the radio on the phone, it's doomed. Every song, every rock group, everything is right around sex. And furthermore, it is rampaging even in religion. It went mad. It went crazy. We never saw it. Or you tell me, preacher, it's always been this. It ain't always been this way. I was raised in the slums, and you son, I'm telling you, I ain't never seen what I'm seeing now. I ain't never seen little 11, 12-year-old girls lined up with a woman abortion clinic in all of my life. I ain't never seen nothing like this. Them kids in Houston, I read the other day, 265 of them under 13 years old had babies that year.
Well, tell me it's always been this way. It ain't always been this way.
I asked my mother, I said, when in your lifetime did you hear of an 11-year-old girl having a baby? She said, I ain't never heard of such a thing. I said, well, I asked my dad, I said, if it's always been this way, when did you hear in your lifetime that a man was chasing a little 10-year-old boy down the street crying to love? He said, I ain't never heard of it. No, you're living in a
strange time. I'm telling you, there's sex gone mad. You don't believe what I'm fixing to tell you.
But when I said it today, one of the preachers out in this state come down to Houston. He said, I want to see everything. I took him out there in Houston, and he looked at some of that pornography and what have you, and them little bitty kids in that 10 and 11 years old, and he got sick on the street and sold it right in the middle of the street. Now, you can't have it. You stick your head in the sand. I'm telling you, we're living in a sick society, and the next move has been the boy, but the next move is the 9 and 10-year-old girls, and you'll begin to see them on Playboy and what have you. It's headed that way right today. Everybody in the news world today says that the next thing on the agenda, man's done trying everything to marriage children. The laws, they tried to pass a law just a few months ago, a preacher friend of mine rise up there in Washington, D.C., and they tried to remove that it wouldn't be against the law to molest a child under 12 years old. They try to get a law under 12 years old. That's right. With sex gone mad. You say, I don't like this thing. I know that you need it. Amen. The wrong things I don't like, I just take it anyway. Mama said, cast all is good for you. I never have believed that, but she did to me anyway. Amen. Amen. And God saw that the wickedness, this is the society lived in. They were satanic and spies. They were not too smart. They were sinful. They were actually supermen. Amen. Remember, Tom? They were supermen. We see some things going on in this chapter that never went on. But we're seeing some things going on in this chapter. They're supermen. I mean, you take a nut like the Beatles, and he's walking down the road, and so I've got 135 meters. Now, that takes a super brain to track 135, 140 meters. He died with $140 million. And you take old Elvis Presley. He's shaking in hell tonight. I don't care what you have to say.
He died in the state of hell's end and they went to his wigwam.
Amen? You got that? But he mashed together a fortune.
Why, Brother John? We're seeing something that nobody else has ever saw in the history of the world. These people were selfish, they were strange, but the thing is, the preacher came, and they were satisfied. And here we are. This is our society.
Okay? Now, we could sit around, Brother Tom, and we could dwell on that our society parallels with this society here. But what has that got to do with this man that found grace? Not one thing in the world. That society is wicked, that society is strange, it's selfish, it's sinful, it's holy, but God wants somebody to preach to them. God wants somebody to hand them a tract. God wants somebody to tell them that Jesus died for them. Hey, my responsibility is to this society. We don't want to believe that.
Brother John, my wife told me this. She said, I went down the street and said, I just want to speak for myself. And they've got a hand that place. Brother John had a special day, a Memorial Day parade. And he had some tracks made up of the flag. And she said, I noticed that young men would take those tracks. Young ladies would take the tracks.
Old ladies would take the tracks. A black man would take the tracks. And she said, the brown people, they would take the tracks. But she said, those men from 40 to 55 in a business suit ain't going to take no tracks. Why, preacher? That's the pride of life. That's that period of pride of life. And see, that kid wild in the passage. You reach him and tell him. But John, you preach, that's your burden. John goes with the kind of the wealthy people come out in big office buildings, and he just stands there and preaches to them. What are they going to do about it? That's not my responsibility, what they do about it. My responsibility is that they hear that somebody's dying for me. That's my responsibility. My responsibility is offering that fact. If he don't take that fact and go to hell, that's between him and God. But I'll tell you one thing. It'd be between me and God if I don't warn the wicked from his wicked way. Amen, brother. Amen. So this is a society we live in. In Milton, Florida, everybody's saved. In Houston, Texas, everybody's saved. And living in that nugget on down, it ain't no heart of nobody saved. Don't answer your question. Right here in the first public school down there, probably 2,000 kids in there. So them 2,000 kids ain't never going to hear. They live in a sinful society. They're out behind the school line in Houston. I don't know how they're here. How many of you got about 25 high schools? I don't know, Johnny. About 25 high schools. And just great numbers of junior high schools. Probably 50 to 75 big schools out in Houston. And every morning our boys go out there, and they get out on them streets, and they hand out tracts, and the police try to stop them, and the officials try to stop them, and everybody said, you kids alone. You know what they tell us? They said, don't you believe in church, the difference between church and state? And I said, you're talking about the mixed up. You tell me I can't give that kid a tract when he's going into the schoolhouse, but you'll hire men to come down and deal with them when you're in jail. Again, when they get in prison, you let all men come down and sit in council with them and deal with them and pray with them. That is state property, isn't it? That's some old mixed up. But our men, our boys, are just thousands of Christ every morning. 7:30, 8 o'clock, we can see a thousand going into school. Who's going to tell them, Brother Johnny? They're from Catholic homes and Baptist homes and Lutheran homes, and Mama says she's saved, she's a drunk, and Daddy said he's saved, he's a killhead, and who's going to tell that boy what the real thing is? Does anybody have a burden for that boy? Does anybody care if that boy goes to hell? No! That is preacher wants to be on the church. He ain't got time to worry about that boy going to hell. Well, thank you, Brother Wood. Who's going to go down and stand at that schoolhouse? The lady standing down where fire won't run over. Where's the man of God at? Couldn't we go down with a tear in our eye and say, boy, here's a fact. Son, don't go to hell. Listen. You can't even believe it. Why, them kids are already 15 years old. They're so wicked and ungodly. In the last 2 weeks, Brother Johnny, you know it's because they poured beer on our boys at 7 o'clock in the morning. They're drinking beer. They took marijuana cigarettes, both of them, and poured them on our boys. That's okay. blow the smoke out of cigarettes, and 200 of them behind the street, smoking dope and eating pills and all drunk up and laying on the ground. I mean just having the worst thing you ever saw in your life. And the principal said, "Get away from them. Catch your face. You can't preach to them." He's talking about the Lord. I wonder what Paul would do. I really wonder. He said, "I believe what I believe, you ought to obey the law."
I believe you ought to obey God. I believe you ought to obey God. Brother John just spins his eyes going up to the courthouse. Do we have any rights?
The other day, the man said that on did what he told him. He said, "No, what you're doing is not against the law, but public opinion don't want you to do it. And since they don't want you to do it, you can't do it. That's public opinion." I said, "Well, you know, it's a public opinion nowadays. Everybody thinks you're stealing. Is that still against the law?" That's quite a public opinion, isn't it? Amen? Okay, thank you.
All right. But this society we live in, it's sick, it's under death. Listen, they never listen to God's man. They're completely ignorant of how God views. They're gone pleasure mad. That's the society you live in. And there it is, right there in the sixth chapter. Now, here's the service that Noah done.
That's the society, but here's the service that he done.
God spoke to him
for God's work. He said, "I want that ship so long and so wide." And God spoke to this man for his service. And I believe that our service ought to be in the church and through the church. That I believe it ought to be connected to the church. I'm just a church man. I got saved in a Baptist church. I got covered preaching in a Baptist church. I got married in a Baptist church. I raised my children in a Baptist church. I'm just a church person. I'll go there. You say, I don't believe in a local church. Well, you've been wrong about some other time.
But this man's service was kind of strange. Kind of a strange service. He got to praying, and God said, "I need a boat." He said, "A what?" He said, "A boat." He said, "What's that?"
He said, "That's one of the things that floats." He said,
"I ain't never, they ain't never rain. You never had rain before, had you?" Huh?
Tide's gonna float, ain't it? Where's he going? But you know, maybe he got me and you. You know, the society was so wicked. He said, I don't think that works. He said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get these people motivated. I've got to get me two or three buses or two or three beds or two or three buses." Hey, I'm going to tell you, you can get anything you want to. But if you get a hold of what God is, you ain't going to do nothing. You ain't going to do nothing with this society we live in, honey. We just going to pass that. You can get a bus, but if you don't soak that bus and pray and somebody don't get a gun, you're wasting your time. Mm-hmm. We don't know what man can do.
Yeah. We better find out what God can do.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Amen. So this service was strange. It was kind of unique. It was kind of unusual.
You know, building a life out and they come out, "What you doing?"
Kind of unusual.
You say something else, Larry. You're completely unwanted. Nobody. And you can believe what you want. They come back and say, "Oh, God bless you, Brother Tom. You're the man that has that addiction, Daddy. Oh, Brother Tom. But God, they hate you. They hate your God." Yeah. And then they talk about hypocrites. And that's why they low down hypocrites. Say, "No, God bless you, Brotherhood. You're such a nice guy, you know." And when you walk off, they say, that's an old mean preacher. One lady came in our church here one night, and she walked down the line. She said for about 10 minutes, she couldn't take any longer. She jumped, she started to the door, and a few days later, broke by and thought, and she said, "How come you run off?" She said, "Well, I didn't see anything in that reminded me of God." She said, "I didn't see any angels in that. I didn't see Mary in there. I didn't see nobody in there. I didn't see anything in there. But an old loud mouth preacher." And you know what? A few days later, about a few months later, that woman got under conviction. And she come back. And Brother Dean said, "What'd you come back for?" She said, "I've just been troubled ever since I was here before." And you know what our job is? My job not to save that woman. My job is to stab that woman where she'll never get over. Down the road somewhere. God will deal with it.
You ever get anything done this week? Somebody's going to lay in these offices at night. And they'll come a little early. And we ain't had near as much fellowship as we are talking to God if you ever get anything done.
Ever get done.
I'm telling you, this is a service. And his work was kind of strange. But his work was kind of steady. Now, it wasn't up and down, in and out. It was just kind of steady. Going, fixing to leave out. It was kind of steady. 120 years, pretty steady. Pretty steady.
Now, I'm telling you, we live in a town of unstable men. unstable in
me. I feel led of the Lord to move on down the road.
You never felt the only thing you need to be led of the Lord to do is find you a place and get settled in with God. Just get settled in with God. Amen?
Amen, Brother Wood. I mean steady for 120 years. Now, this job didn't have no pay. And this job didn't have no position. And this job didn't have any prestige. And this job didn't have no politics. But this job had the power of God to get it done. I'm in front of you. God's work.
God's will. It had to be done God's way. I've watched,
I've written this down through the years now. As I travel, I even ask people about different men. And I've watched men. I was talking to a man here a while back from Los Angeles, right outside San Diego. And he was a member of that Scott Memorial Baptist Church. And I said, Dr. Scott, I said, when you first started out, what happened?
He said, I tell you, Brother Wood, he said, I got in my mind. And for about 15 years, I was in the service, men and sinners. And he said, we won a lot of people to the Lord. But he said, I never saw much fruit from that thing because he said, I bypassed the local church. And he said, really, I thought the local church had backslid on God and it's all over. And he said, I ripped myself up and I took my family and I went to the service center. And I left the law, all of my boys, four boys, and I think about three of them boys are preachers now. And he said, I left the law for my whole family doing my work.
I'm here to tell you something. This ain't my work. Somebody said, Brother Wood, what's going on down here in Corpus Christi since Brother Wolof died?
It's getting bigger. Do you know that Brother Wolof has moved up three pegs in the top 15 preachers of America on the radio? He's moved up three pegs since he died. Now, you want to know how much God needs you? He could probably get along better without you. A man said to me the other day, he said, well, Brother Wood, what if you think about that work? It takes $500,000 a month to run. I'll tell you something. And you ain't behind.
I talked to Brother Cameron the other day, and he said, I baptized 70-something one day here just a few weeks back. People getting saved.
People getting saved. 760 people live on that ranch. Brother Wolof built that thing on the King James Bible and a local church right in the middle of it. They got buses going in that city trying to reach their people for the Lord, trying to get people saved. And if you build this thing on the King James Bible, a sinner in a local church, God will bless you. And the gates of hell. Hallelujah. I like you tonight. Ain't you glad you come?
Amen. Now, you might get this. Nobody didn't ask Noah to build that little boat he built, and so nobody helped him.
And so wherever you get, wherever you're going with God, you'll find out nobody didn't send for you, and they ain't going to help you. You'll have to do the job yourself. And you say, somebody will just come and help me. God will.
Old Jonah got over and started to preach, and he said, there ain't nobody paying much attention to me. He said, we didn't send for you.
He said, I have to do it all by myself.
That's right. You're the one God told to do it, ain't
he? I always complain about nobody won't help you. We'll just go ahead and do your part. And then when you get so tired you can't do anymore, he'll give you strength to do somebody else's. I just don't like that. I don't either.
That's the way it is. Amen. That's service of God. Amen. Now, I want you to notice something here. This is society that he served, and this service that he done, and here's the suffering that he experienced.
The suffering he experienced, as every man does, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was evil continually. Now, the suffering that every man experiences
is the loneliness of the job.
If I wish God would put me on top. You better watch out about that top business. I tell you, it ain't near as lonely down here at the bottom. There's a whole lot of us here. But boy, when you get to be a general, and God puts you up down there by yourself.
That's a lonely
job. I'm going to tell you, the thing that's plagued me through the ministry is the loneliness. I have a camp meeting, and hundreds and hundreds of people come from everywhere. They flew in from California and Canada and Ohio and Florida. They came from everywhere. And folks in Houston didn't come.
I guarantee them preachers, they wouldn't get, they'd just soon have a plague. They'd be near that church.
And, I just found out, Lord, I'm sick and tired of being lonely. I mean, what would you want to fellowship with an old backslidden preacher for? I go down to that church on Saturday night, John, and we got about 35 old boys pray every Saturday night. I have had high 50 down in the last couple months. And then men be down just laying all over them floors, just weeping and crying on Saturday night. And about 25 or 30 women over in another building, and they're over there praying, and they all laying on Saturday night just crying and praying and asking God to do something. I'd just be down there with them and be sitting around a cup of coffee, a bunch of preachers talking about somebody. That's lonely, man. You just go right there, but Thomas just lay on them floors, pray and cry. And they love me. That bunch of nuts down there love me. I don't know why. I guess they just don't know me, but they love me.
And I mean, the day they said, when are you coming home?
I mean, they won't know when I'm coming home. And them baggy preachers, they hope I don't never come home. Oh. And I'm telling you, Noah found out when you find grace, you find a lonely life.
My old wife walked up to me one time, and I was so discouraged.
Woo. I'd had the backside of fellowship myself. And he walked up and he said, it's not near as crowded. Around this hill, it was. I said, sir? He said, it's not as crowded around this whole blood splattered hill as it was back that time in the world, was it? I said, no, sir, it's not. He said, son, the closer you get to Calvary, the less folks you'll run into. I ain't never forgot that.
The closer you live to that cross, the less crowded it gets. And then, boy, it gets lonely.
On some mission station, it's lonely. And I've seen men backslide on God because they'd go there and fellowship with some ecumenical, some charismatic, just trying to find some fellowship.
And then we get up and we'll tell the world, Christ is all I need.
And fellowship. Suffering experience.
Loneliness. Long hours and long years of hard work and misunderstanding.
Worked on that old hunting field in the world. Said, what's he doing? He said, working for God. That don't seem like nobody's going to help you, and you ain't got but 8 or 10. I mean, won't you quit? God told me to do it.
Long hours. Then life that.
And this is the suffering. You know, I never even think about this that day, but you know, Noah's mother-in-law didn't get in on that boat. That might be a blessing. But you know, I got things about that thing. You know, here's uncles and cousins and nobody got on that boat. What were all the people done? What were all the family with that? I mean, his boys got on it, wives got on it. None of her people got on that, none of his people got on that. What all of this kinfolk
died in that flood? That's something, isn't it?
Well, that's strange. Suffering experience. And then, you know, the thing about this is it's so lengthy.
You know, you've been through suffering and persecution and problems, and you say, boy, be glad it's over. Man, I won't.
Because I've been learning when this one's over, the next one's going to be worse. Sometimes when it gets so dark, I say, Lord, that's fine. That's okay. Because I know the next trial is going to be darker. And so I just
take my time about going through this trial.
Because he did say the fiery trial that shall try you.
And I've often thought that the first trial I had was the one. And I really believe that there is the fiery trial. But the last 27, I thought it was it. You didn't get that. But there's a fiery trial. There's one trial above all trials. The trial of that same of God.
Drop in that scripture. I'm going to say something.
You got to go through that scripture. Because there ain't no polish without the scripture. There ain't no separating that old heart from the real we to get that sister. And I'm going to tell you, God puts you in the sister, not the devil.
The devil does the sister, but he's not. Hallelujah. Look at it now. Look at it.
The suffering that he experienced.
And then the next thing I notice here is he suffered that thing. The scripture that he abided by. The Lord said, Noah, I'd like you to build this ark so long and so wide
and so tall and put a window here and a door there. He did it just exactly like God said. Didn't build no handles on the outside to hold on to the end. He just built a door and it got in. And the Bible, you know, I was looking over here tonight and it said, and Noah went in. In verse 7 of chapter 7. And Noah went in. In verse 16, and the Lord shut him in. And then the Lord lifted him above the earth.
I like that.
He went in, he shut in, he left out.
I like that. Now I just wonder tonight,
the scripture that abided, he died by. What God said is all that matters. Brother Dan Meadows, it doesn't make any difference if you're ever successful. The thing is, Brother Dan, if you abide by the Scripture.
When I first started preaching, and they used to come to us because Bob Jones told us Nicholas, the old man. When we first started preaching, they said, well, now if you'll join this group and that group, then you'll be successful. Then you'll reach more people. You'll preach to bigger crowds and all this. That's not important. The important thing is doing it just like the Scripture says. My wife was talking about a man, and he's been greatly used of the Lord. And my wife was showing me some pictures, and I looked at him. I couldn't go along with the pictures. I couldn't go along with nothing he does. I thank God for the soul and the faith and that man's been. I thank God for everything that man's done, and he's had a real, I don't know what you would call it. I couldn't go that way. I couldn't live that way. God, I just won't give any liberty to anything like that. I believe that Noah didn't say, well, now, Lord, I could probably haul more if I build it twice as long. God said, I know exactly how long I want it. But the human man, he said, well, Brother Wood, God gave us sense enough to know. Well, God didn't give you sense enough to know nothing but what this book says. What this book says, you do it just like God said. Bill Scott said, I didn't do it like God said. I took my family and everything to the woods, and I went down to the seaway center and let the shack go where she wanted to. But he said, I found out that I was wrong, the old man. It'd be better to find out while you're the young man.
Saved you a lot of grief and a lot of heart.
A lot of heart.
Scripture, by the way. He did it just like God said, and he did it as long as God said. That's very important. He did just what God said by Tom, but he done it as long as God said.
Stood on that street corner and said, come in, come in, come in. There's a little odd-looking
woman downtown Houston, Brother Johnny.
You've seen her come in our church numbers of times, and she carries a little handful of spice. I don't know anything about it, but she won't come. But you go downtown, you won't be there very long. And she says, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. And I've watched that woman for years and years and years. I don't know anything about it. I don't know where she goes to church.
But I'll say one thing. She's been faithful a long, long time. One day I went into a bookstore at home. This old saint of God's gone now. Miss Showalter was her name. She was on a Bible book and tract store. And I was a rare and young preacher. And she said, how you getting along, brother? Well, I said, fine. She said, well, did you preach on the radio today? And I said, yes, I did. I said, I give that little Taylor down the river. Oh, she said, that poor little girl. She said, you know, the Lord laid on my heart a long time ago. And she said, I've been praying for her since she was about 14 years old. And she said, her and I have been corresponding. And I've been sending her some gospel literature all through the years. Isn't it strange that some of us preachers, even in our toughness and meanness, and we get up and say, well, oh, Hollywood harlot. But this old saint of God is a good. You see, wasn't a Hollywood harlot. She's a girl going to hell without God. And she writes her little letter. You ever write anybody a letter? Did you ever write anybody a letter?
I got a bad habit.
You know, Brother Johnny's dad,
I knew some bad letter one time. I wrote an evangelist daddy here one month, a letter, and the daddy picked up the letter. He's a lost Catholic man down in New Orleans, and he picked up that letter and he gave it. And he owns a boat company, and I told him his boy got saved and everything. His boy may be a little overzealous, and I told him about this boy and how he got saved and how he was respecting it. And I told him, I said, "Dear sir, I know you and your wife must be fine people to raise this kind of boy and give him to the Christian world God might be." That old man stood there and read that letter. Tears began to run down his face. He said, "Boy, did you tell that man to write me a letter?" He said, "Most of it." I never told that man that last night. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, he didn't have nothing to do with that boy. This big rich man here, he called that boy and he said, I'll tell you what, son. He said, "Glenn, I believe." He said, "You want that brand new Oldsmobile or something?" He said, "Well, you know that, I'm ragged evangelist without nothing." He said, "You can have it, just wait a second." A few months later, he called him and he said, "Glenn, I want to know how much money you paid income tax for last year," he told him. He said, "If you don't buy, me doing it." He said, "I'd like this carriage on the books here for $1,000 a month." He said, "You want to come in and work once in a while when you're home? Okay." But he said, "Your wife will get a check $200 a week from now on. Just a letter. It didn't hurt that bad." He said, "I don't think you're going to take that check." "I didn't have any problem taking Papa's money. I wouldn't want to take the world's money. If my daddy wouldn't get me in his office, I'd be all right. I wouldn't say, 'No, you can't help me.' Well, Scott, you need to get saved. That's why most of them going to hell, right now. That old daddy, you know what he is? God told him that left. And now, I just like to like him like that. I like to like people personally. But sometimes I just like to write people living off in distant cities that's been a blessing to me and say, 'Dear sir, or dear lady, dear whoever it is, I just appreciate you, and the universe is good for God.' Sometimes in dark hours, people get around like that. Everybody encourages you. Maybe just a little telephone call. My wife said, 'Do you know how much your telephone is?' I said, 'Don't care much.' Scripture about his life. I'll tell you something. He quit when God said to him. He didn't need a vision from God to build that thing. He had him a verse. And a verse is a lot better than a vision. Amen, brother. Well, some of us Baptists are looking for a call. You better get you a verse. But when that call gets mighty dim and your mind can't, you can go back to that verse and read it again. If you got that verse, you lay that on the devil, I'll handle it. I better get off of that. I'll deal with that some other time. Scripture abided by it. Now, you'll notice Noah here. His sufficiency was in God. John, the theme song of our church for years has been, "Christ is all I need." But that's not so in the Christian world. Christ is all I need and preach. I've heard people just say, "Well, what if I didn't preach, I'd just be backslid." No, you're already backslid. You don't know it. Christ is all I need and teach the Sunday school class. Christ is all I need to be a pastor of the church. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." Period. Nothing else. If you add anything else to that, you've added to the Lord Jesus. When I first got saved, Tom, I remember when I first got saved, man, I told my wife, I said, "She wasn't saved." I said, "Man, it's wonderful to be saved." I mean, I've met the Lord Jesus, and it was something personal, an old junkie, an old bad drug addict, an old criminal. I mean, got saved. And woke up the next morning with a proof of God in my heart. And I'd run to that Bible, and I had a little zipper Bible, just like I got right here, and I'd read that thing. And she said, "God, you sure read a lot?" Man, I just read books out of the Bible. I mean, I had been saved no time. I done went through that Bible. I started looking at it again. I said, "Man, this is wonderful. I ain't never been to nobody's church. I ain't never been around none of God's people." I said, "Man, this is wonderful." But you know what? Through all this premillennial doctrine, and I love that doctrine, and AD 1611, we just about run all of the Jesus out of us. And it's just about to become a religion, man. I believe the Bible. I am a Bible believer. You believe that verse where it said, and they went from house to house? You believe that verse where it said they gave all? You believe that verse? You believe that? Yeah, there's a lot of verses in there to believe. You say you believe that? Christ is all sufficient. No building on earth. The mother must say, you're going to have all them kids, mine, what? He said, yes, sir, my son. He's all I need. He's all just kept building and praying and working and stretching. What do you mean? He said, I just want to do something for God. You're full of the devil. You can't do nothing for God. If you ever get fired, I think what he'll do something to you. You can't have a lot. You can't have. We live in a time of activity. And, you know, an old Englishman, I won't call a man's name, but he's a great preacher. He gets up on the pew and he runs back there and back here and back down and he said, we do something in the church. And he's English, but he said, and he's just fine. And he said to me, my brother, that's in the well. He said, man, it is. My brother, how do you think man is doing? This great teacher does such and such. But my brother, is it true? My brother, a lot of flesh. I didn't tell you to come to church and do something. God told us to come here to do something. We need to get acquainted with our Heavenly Father. Well, you can ask me anything about my daddy, John. I can tell you. Hey, John, I can tell you when he was born and where he was born and where his daddy was born and what my granddaddy was born and what war was fought in. I can take you back when they fought the British, John. I can tell you all about him. I'm acquainted with the witchcraft. My granddaddy was born in 1855 in Bethany, Detroit. Mary Joanna was my grandmother, born in 1861, the year the war broke out in Boston. I know exactly where my people came from. They came over from England. I know exactly where they came from. They said they lived up there standing between them Scotsmen and when they were fighting. They said the woods, as they call them, the woods people, because they lived in the woods and stole from the British and stole from the Scottish, stole from the Scottish, stole from the British. If you ever find the woods, he's leading the horse. I don't care what.
How come you're interested in your stock? That's my father.
When I got saved, I want to know about my father. I want to get acquainted with him. I want to find out what kind of inheritance he left me. What I had coming and what I didn't have coming. What he expected out of me and what he didn't expect out of me. I want to know something about my father. And I want to tell you that I found out he's all for this. Get away from us. I said, yes, sir. He said, come closer. And I read a little old book one time, and I don't even remember much about the book, but I read L.E. Maxwell's book on Pride of the Christ. And Maxwell said, when the world and religion begin to crowd down with us, it can crowd you too fast, or it can crowd you completely away from Christ. And that's it. So you can either get crowded to him, away from him. And the question is, where are you at? Away from me? Or to? He said, teacher, I'm going through some trials. Yes. Welcome to the club. I hate to tell you this, but that's where the Lord is at. The Bible says the disciples were in the storm, and they knew not that it was the Lord. You let the waves roll. And you know, it even said they told that the ship was full of water. Well, when it gets full, it's about time to get out. Somebody said, you know how Peter sunk? I said, sure. He got out of the boat. Yeah, this ain't no fool thing, I know. Oh, you said the reason he sunk was when he got his eyes out. Well, the reason he sunk, he got out of the boat. He said, hey, what did God tell him to do? What did God tell him to do? Get in that boat and go to that other side. And when the boat got full, He said, Lord, I'd like to walk on the water. Well, all he had to do was get in the boat and start walking around. He's full. Amen. He's running full. I thought when he's full of them, he's just running out. And when you're in a boat in the middle of the ocean, it's running out. It's time to get out. But God always goes contrary to circumstances. God said, get in that boat and go to the other side. I don't know how much water you put in that, or how many holes you put in that. God told you, get in that boat and go to the other side. That boat's going to the other side. Well, your problem is staying in that boat. When the storm comes, water comes, everybody's going to sleep, and you'll find God's around. He's right there. But he said, I'll never leave you. He's right there. He's all sufficient.
I'm going to close. I know you don't think I am. Just lay back and go to sleep. But his sufficient was in God. He had a wonderful ministry, had a wonderful family.
He even made a wonderful deal. He said, poor old Noah. Poor old Noah. Got a floating zoo.
Think myself.
I don't know if it got kind of smelly along the way, but it was wonderful. Amen. I've often wondered who used the shovel. I bet it was.
Amen.
But he landed. I didn't have a trouble checking it. But he had a wonderful landing place.
And then he looked around and he said, I wonder where the rabbi is at. I wonder where Dr. Smooth mouth is.
Where are all them preachers at? I don't even see their church anymore. Well, that was a time. Well, well, well. Ain't nobody here but me and God. Is this something? They told me I was praying. I got the whole thing now. And thank God, God's going to clean it up. He looked around and around. He said, I wonder where that bunch of reprobates is at. They gone. Hey, one of these days, I'm going to wake up in another world.
Yeah.
And they ain't going to be there. They ain't going to be none of these monstrosities there. They ain't going to be none of this stubborn society there. They ain't going to be no suffering experience.
Hey, we're headed to another world.
He had a wonderful land. Now, I want you to notice something, if you will. His sufficient was in God, but he was successful.
He made the whole thing. Jesus said, it's in the days of Noah. Paul said in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews,
when he put all his Hall of Famers in there, you know. See? All them Hall of Famers in there.
He said, Noah being warned of God, prepared an ark for the season of the time.
Think about that just a minute. Think about this just a minute. He was successful.
You said, Brother Jack, more than anything, Brother Johnny, you won't matter.
Brother John finished college and the pastor church 3 or 4 years. I preached him a little meeting, and one day I was off in Florida somewhere preaching, and the last time he said, Brother John, James. I said, Brother John Thompson's over here. I said, well, I said, what's that Indian doing? She said, oh, no, not that John Thompson. He said, that's John Thompson. We got one big John Thompson, and we got this little John Thompson. And the big John Thompson weighs about 350. And I said, what's he doing now? She said, well, he said, God told him something. He's been there about 7 years now. And you know, he'd meet his preacher friends around the country, and they said, what are you doing? He said, man, we're Brother Jack Wood. A year went by, 2 years went by, and said, he would say, well, aren't you sometimes want to get it for the ministry? You know, just leading singing to Brother Wood, and winning souls, and teaching in a Bible school. Wouldn't you like to get into the ministry? Cukey. Half the people saying that don't even know what the ministry is. And if they run square head on him, they wouldn't know how to do it. And so through them years of experience, friend, that's right with me. Brother John, never one time, 7 years has passed now, and God has led him into something else and opened the doors for him, and people are being saved, and he meets some of his friends. We have 281 and a half in Sunday school. Average last year, 282 and a third. Do you happen to know a church that you could recommend this to? One boy said to my son-in-law, he said, your brother Jack's a sister. Don't you ever get lonesome to be in the parsonage again? He was in his fifth one in the last 6 years. And some of the wives, but Johnny, they think he went out of ministry. You know, leading singing for God's name, fact for you. Me and this boy, we
traveled up and down this lane from the length of it to the breadth. We've been to the lower top of it, to the bottom of it, we've been in it. Since I've been in Florida, they've called me, they've asked me to come to California. I don't know what I only the Lord knows. I ain't going to go around and give out now. When are you going to get in the ministry at any time? Don't you know you have to get in the ministry?
The ministry, I told some men today, I had a man teaching for me. He had about 40 in the Sunday school class. I taught it last Sunday, he had 130 in me. That's Sunday week ago. And he told me, he said, I've got to get into the ministry. He's in his third church now in the last 6 years. Ain't never had over 25. And all 25 at each place was so happy when he left. I wonder why a guy runs off and gets 25 when he already had 35 years. He's got a good job here, paying, he don't have all the responsibility, and he's winning souls, and God bless, I've got to get into the ministry. No, you know wrong. What you want you approve of here so you can exercise out of time. Did you think I'd mention that? To handle it! You like handling dynamite. You blow something up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Successful. So he was used of God to perform a miracle. And what happened in Noah's day was a miracle. He gone. They said, where's he going? Some guy standing in the tree said, where's he going? Some guy then climbed to the top of the mountain and said, woo, look over yonder. There goes that old crazy preacher in that boat. He performed a miracle. I'm going to say something. God used him to save the world. Strange how God was. A little nobody. I mean, that's giant old guy. He's got a hand full. That's a whole lot of God that gets a hold of him. Did you ever read that verse of scripture where that boy had him a five sardines and two biscuits and God got a hold of them bands and blessed them and prayed, oh, God. He said, God ain't never done that for me. He ever had them five biscuits and two sardines in his hand. Sometimes we put in God's hand, we pick it up and take it with us. And we bring it back, we put it in God's hand, we take it back. And we bring it down, put it over all of us, we pick it up and take it back home. They never submitted to God. And Noah said, well, I don't know how to do anything else. I'm not much of a preacher anymore. I'm the witcher. I was built this little boat. And he opened the door, and they all got in. He sat out. And he went to the ring in his hands, where are you? And he wondered if he had the real salvation or not. And the Bible said, shut that door. Rain began to trickle down. Ooh. And you'll notice that all the judgment was on the ark, not on the inside. And that thing was going through the storm and every tree or mountain, whatever it hit, and whatever it bumped against, took all the shots. The Lord said, ride free by grace. Lord, by grace. And God used him to save the world. You've got no idea about what God has got for you. Your job is to prepare the ark. It's God's job to save the world. My thought. My wife and I went to Houston and opened the work up in 57. And the world said, you're not educated enough. I said, amen. And they said, you're not smart enough. And I said, amen. And they said, you don't have enough Bible for him. I said, amen. You know, sometimes it's better to agree with your adversary. They said, you're crazy. I said, amen. They said, you don't know nothing. Amen. That's right. I know God. The old preacher, right along. He told me, he said, you ain't never told him I said nothing about. You preach too loud. You've got a direct way of speaking. You got to kind of get interested in this thing. Kind of sneak up on it. I ain't trying to sneak up on nobody. I'm trying to hit you right square in your nose. When I fight, I don't try to sneak around here and punch you a little bit here. When you get right square in your nose, you kick your face. That's all I know. I'm here to do it right. I'm here to die right. You'll put your clothes. He's in heaven tonight. Why don't he pick me up a million times and trump me close? I appreciate you, man. But he said, Jack, I had mortified him one time. He said, he tore my face off. And I'm telling you, you've got to deal with those people. He said, I drove off. He said, I went to school with him. But he said, I was down there then. He said, I heard him say this. I heard him say that if God wanted you to smoke, he'd put a chimney on top of your head. And he said, that ain't the way he talks to God's people. Lord began to lead me in. My wife puts a little old tent up, 57. Father began to preach. And I never will forget, there was a man laying down tonight in Houston. I saved another old tent, Bill Sasser. Old Claude Pilgrim, member of my church tonight. I was in 67. In 60, old Brother Whitford still out with me. He got saved in 60. My, the Lord. I baptized his wife, my organist now, baptized in 60. Then Gerda, who saved. I look across that congregation sometimes. And Sunday morning I went there, and we run between 250 and 300 every Sunday morning. And that preacher told me that when he died a while back. He asked my dad to come over and preach to him. One of the 14 people left. So building a lot of damage. It was awful. I wasn't happy about it. A big old white column down in front of the church turned nice to that over. And they sold it to the Mexican people. And they went on and made a beautiful church, and I'm so glad. It's a testimony place. But that's where we grew up as kids. So Jack, you don't got truth in them people. You'll never be a success. And I preached for 20 years, like you said, nobody came. And then 25 years. And then when I passed that 25 year mark, I guess God said, okay, I'll let you go. Another day, one of the big men in America, and it don't mean a thing to me, except I said to the Lord, I said, you heard what they said? The man called me from Dallas and he said, would you come hold me a meeting back in January of 85? And I said, yes, sir. And I pulled over and I said, yes, the first one of those big churches I ever got into. First one they let me preach. That's right. He heard me preach around the conference and he said, I want you to come. That man taught me in Dallas. The old brother told me, he said, you don't quit looking at people straight in the face and pointing your finger at them. You're going to wind up with no place to preach. And my old brother, he wound up the building falling in on him. He lost all of his children. The boy surrendered the same day I did and said God called him to preach. And then later, his wife left him and he said he was an infidel. He didn't believe there was a God. I said, my, my, my. The old gentleman's wrong. It's crazy, a mixed up world. When Noah found grace, Johnny looked at my son and preached. And God done what he wanted to with Noah. Noah didn't tell God what to do. God told Noah what to do. What we're doing today, preacher boy, we're telling God what to do. But God's looking for some men and he can tell what to do. He's looking for a lady. He said, lady, go next door and do so-and-so. They were successful.
Jesus said, I don't tell you about Noah. For a time I've often wondered about it. When John the Baptist died, Jesus said, he never even went to his funeral. Strange, isn't it? He went to the widow woman's boy's funeral. He went to Lazarus. I wonder why he didn't go to John. But you know what he said? He said, there ain't never been a man born to woman greater than John. Hey, that wasn't Brother John Thompson or Jack Woods giving him a recommendation. That was the Lord Jesus Christ in that.
We turn to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and the Apostle Paul says, I'd like to tell you about an old man named Noah. Fear God in his heart. He prepared an ark for the saved of his house. God said, write that down, Paul, I like that. Jesus said something about a great man. Paul said something about a great man.
And neither one of them ever had 30 people. Isn't that strange? Now, if they'd had 1,000, he'd understood that in this day and time. But they didn't have anybody. And everybody John had was leaving him, going over there to be with Jesus.
And they said, hey, all of your disciples are leaving. He said, yeah, I must decrease, he must increase. You get it?
We don't want to decrease. We want to increase. Let's pray.
I believe the Lord wants us to pray. Everyone pray. Just a moment. Just a moment. I want to pray.
Use of God to save a world. Use of God to doom the wicked.
The other day in Houston, Texas, Brother John joined arms with three other men. Thousands upon thousands of homosexuals. And then marched through the crowd, arm in arm, screaming, the wrath of God. The wrath of God's coming. God rained down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. They seal in the doom of the wicked. For no idea. And he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. If you ever accomplish anything as a missionary, if you ever accomplish anything as a young man of God, young lady, if you ever accomplish anything, it'll be because of the grace of God. You know that, but you've never experienced it. But God will let you experience this. Now God wants to do something to your heart tonight. He wants to take it and mash it and crush it and stomp it and till all the juice runs out of your eyeballs that you've never seen before. And all of it stomped and crushed. God will pick up them pieces and use it as the master craftsman. Father, we thank you for the goodness of God tonight and the grace of God. There's those here, Lord, who are saved, that's never really got involved in the work of God. Never becomes burden for a sick, sick society. We look at the young people and criticize them. We look at the Cassius Clays and the Muhammad Ali's and criticize them as they march into hell. We look at the movie stars that live wicked and even many times forget to ever, ever pray for them. And Lord God, you said, call unto me, and I will answer thee. God, make us praying people. Raise up some praying people that can get a hold of God and get a hold of God for a lost world tonight. This town, Lord, has been preached to and been preached out over the radio, and that church is on every corner, and she's still going to hell tonight. And if somebody don't stop and pray, she'll be on the way to hell the next time we come back. But, oh God, tonight, may you raise up some intercessors tonight that will stand between you and a godless world and say, oh God, do something in my day that the world won't even believe. Speak, Lord. Speak tonight to some drooping heart here tonight. They might find grace to go on with God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Why don't you just bow your head? Just bow your head reverently and listen to Brother John as he sings. Darling, he's everything you'll ever need. A weary soldier, he's all the refreshment you'll ever need. Man of the world, he's all the wealth. Let God speak to your heart.
everything you need. He's all sufficient.
Well, y'all lead the whole congregation. Let's all sing it. Some are coming. Some people are kneeling in the altar. I believe everybody ought to sing this song here. You'll write it for the week over. Years ago, in our family, there was a man named Pete Lindley. He was a gypsy, he was a traveler. And he's the worst drunkard that I guess I ever knew. And one day on the street corner in Corsicana, Texas, somebody got to Pete Lindley and told old Pete about the Lord, and he got saved. He was about 55. When he got saved, and being a gypsy and a traveler, he'd never been to school. Old Pink got saved. Preacher Mark the Bible in the 3rd chapter of John. And Pink would walk around with the Bible in his hand. Couldn't read one word of it. Didn't have any idea what it said. He told all of our family and our friends, said, read right there. Then read that 3rd chapter of John. He'd turn him over 2 or 3 other chapters. He had Mark come read that. He'd get out and pray with him. God used Pink Lindley to win many a man to God. Well, John Ingalls, the first cousin of mine, he saved tonight. John can't read a word. But the Lord rest your son got saved, one of the wickedest men I ever knew. They went to San Antonio, went out to a camp. A bunch of gypsy wasn't got 22 people. Took them one night to the Belvedere Baptist Church on the Jack Little Town. The pastor walked in there with 22 unsaved gypsy boys and girls. That night, every one of them got saved. I mean, every one of them. Jack Little Town told me, said, I thought I had an invasion of charismatics. They were all sinners coming to God. What happened? Well, Pete Lindley got saved. And old Pete could kneel down to pray. But Tom, he said, Lord, it's old Pete again. Every time he ever prayed. He said, dear Lord, it's old Pete again. Pete's sister died. He went to the funeral. Told everybody there how to be saved. He got them all in there. And he said, I want you all to kneel down. I just want to pray for you. Old Pete kneeled down to pray. And he said, dear God, it's old Pete again. Everybody waited for him to say something else. He looked up and old Pete and went home. He died right there on his knees. You know how Pete found out? He didn't need no education. He didn't need no Bible school training. He didn't even know how to read. He'd won half of his family to God and sinners by the multitudes in the whole country. Was talking about, man, did you ever meet Pete Lindley? Got out of the pudding one day and said, whoop. We said, good morning, Lord. How are you doing? Sure it's good to see you. Face to face. One day, he and you going to lay down. And I hope when we go, we say, Lord, it's me again. You know me, Lord, I've always needed you. Me. Let's sing one other verse, that Brother Johnny. To the Lamb. All I need. That's Jesus.
new.
He's not all of your wants. He's all of your needs. Not all of your wants, but He is all you need. My mother said to me a good many years back, I was kind of young and full of energy, kind of a tiger. And she said, "You know, Jack," she said, "my Jesus and your Jesus seems to be two different people." She said, "You see Him coming with a sword." And she said, "I see Him coming with nail-pierced hands." I thought about that through the years, Bob.
This young man, you might see him as a lion from the tribe of Judah, and he is. Don't let me mislead you. He is. But all the way through the book of Revelation, Tom, it still says, "Behold the Lamb."
And there's never a time in time or eternity where He ever ceases to be the Lamb. God bless you, my Tom.
Thank you, Brother Jack. And I tell you what, we're not going to give any more invitation. We're going to go home. Amen. Now, before you go, let me ask you to do this. You want to leave the Bible, folks. Take that home with you. Either give it to someone, or call someone, or visit someone, and get them to come to the meeting tomorrow night. Will you do that? I just be faithful. Maybe you say, "Well, I got to go somewhere else tomorrow night." How about Thursday night, Friday night? Amen. Just get somebody to the meeting, and especially somebody that's untouched. God will bless you if you'll just obey. Call somebody, invite someone. Just take that post as a reminder that you need to do something else. Amen. And let's do that. Alright? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. And we appreciate all of our visitors. We appreciate you coming tonight. Come back to leave us again. I'm going to ask Brother Delaney, missionary to Ireland, if you're with us tonight. Brother Delaney, you ask God to bless the meeting and dismiss us for this month. Amen. Thank you.